And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Sometimes I'll come here with some words that I'm really excited about, then Bracken just ruins it every time. Because I can't tell if it's the scripture or the way he reads it. It's like sitting at Dr. Seuss's feet and hearing him read the scriptures to me. This is an extraordinary story that Bracken read, one of my favorites. I've preached from it from different angles and different parts many times. Actually, the better translation would be, he says, she has loved much because she has been forgiven much. That he said, when he says, your sins, which are many, have been forgiven, that her love was a result of the forgiveness that she experienced. Now, again, think of who this is. This is Mary Magdalene. She's a prostitute. Mary Bethany, she's the sister of Martha and Lazarus. They're one of the closest families to Jesus. I'm sure that they have been talking to her, and how she became a prostitute, we don't know. This encounter resulted, according to the next chapter, of her being set free from 7 demonic spirits. Yet it doesn't say that Jesus cast spirits out. They just left in the presence of his fierce love for her in this setting. She's an outcast socially. Her family was not a poor family. And yet, whatever happened to her, she ended up in the streets. She had heard about Jesus again, I'm sure, from her brother and her sister. She'd been dealing with guilt and the condemnation in her life that comes with that kind of lifestyle. And when she hears Jesus is close, she decides that's when she's going to make her move. And she does that in the most precarious situation for a prostitute, a household full of Pharisees. But when she gets to Jesus, she falls at his feet. She's weeping. She's anointing his feet with her hair and oil, very expensive oil, and the tears that are flowing from her. That's a very extravagant act that didn't seem to care what people were thinking about her. I mean, she walked into a room where she would experience immediate rejection, and yet her adoration, her love for him in response to what she encountered in his presence just wrecked her. And she's one of my great heroes. And almost every time you see Mary Magdalene, she's at the feet of Jesus throughout Scripture. She's the first person Jesus revealed himself to in his resurrection, this former prostitute. So again, there are so many things that are awesome here, but there's something about forgiveness that's really powerful. You see, I think when she was in the presence of Christ, she experienced something without Jesus having to speak a word that she had never experienced before. Someone who loved her that fiercely without wanting anything from her. Jesus was the ultimate giver. And probably for the first time in many, many years, she got lost in not thinking about herself and being filled with self-consciousness, but was conscious of the love that Jesus had for her and the love he had for her that was filled with forgiveness just wrecked her. And so she worships and expresses her love for him in worship. And of course, then Jesus has this conversation with one of the Pharisees who's offended that Jesus couldn't be a prophet, because if he was a prophet, he would know this is a prostitute and you don't hang out with people like that. I'm really grateful that Jesus hangs out with people like that. It's the Pharisees he has a hard time hanging out with. When he says to her, and he's speaking still to the Pharisee, verse 47, for this reason I say to you, your sins, which are many, have been forgiven. Therefore she loved much, because she's been forgiven much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he looked at her and he says, your sins have been forgiven. That is what you experienced in my presence. And then the last thing in verse 50, he looks at her and says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Faith in what? She didn't get healed physically. She didn't get some prophetic word or word of knowledge like the woman at the well. What was her, he said, your faith has saved you. Just the faith that she pressed in, just with all the junk in her life and all the history, just the fact that she pressed in, that she sought him. Isn't it amazing that Jesus honors that as faith? See, often we'll come into his presence having blown it, and we feel so full of shame that we kind of like back into his presence because we're sure he doesn't want to see us. And the fact is, he celebrates our faith in him, faith that he loves us that much, that he wants to love on us even and especially when we're blowing it. The Pharisees wanted her out. Jesus was thrilled that she came in. And in that experience that she was enjoying, she had faith in what she was experiencing, in the love of God in the person of Christ. The word forgiveness means to send away, to make it go away. Doesn't just mean I'm not mad at you anymore. It means what you've done has now been put away. We're not going to talk about it anymore. And we've talked about this before. It's kind of like Edmund's conversation with Aslan when the other siblings are off. And Edmund, who had blown it so royally because he'd been so deceived by the White Witch, and Edmund's now having this conversation with Aslan, and when it's done, the siblings ask what the conversation was about, and basically he said, this is between me and him, and we're never going to talk about it again. Amen. This is powerful. See, forgiveness, again, doesn't mean that I'm not mad at you anymore. It means it's put away. It's not there anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. And then the other side of the forgiveness is now go in peace. The word peace is the word, Hebrew word is the shalom. Go and experience wholeness. It's not there anymore. Don't turn around and look for it. It doesn't exist. Don't waste your time stopping and looking back at something I paid such a price for. It doesn't belong to you anymore. Don't turn back and look. Instead, go and experience wholeness now. That's what happens in the presence of Jesus. We're the ones who want to talk about it over and over again, aren't we? You know why? Out of fear. It's all the enemy. Shame. He's the accuser. Now, he didn't say he's the condemner. The enemy doesn't condemn, he accuses. We condemn ourselves. And you know that the word condemn and the word doubt are the same Greek word? When it says that Abraham didn't waver in unbelief, the word waver there is the same word. As long as we're walking in condemnation, we can't be walking in faith. But it's the accuser that convinces us we should condemn ourselves. God doesn't. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But the enemy convinces us to condemn ourselves. And then we never are able to come into agreement with what God says that has been put away. And we can now go forward into wholeness. Forgiveness is the ultimate word for inner healing. It's the ultimate expression of inner healing. I'm convinced that if the body of Christ really understood what forgiveness is actually all about, it doesn't just mean that God's not going to pout at you anymore, or between us, I'm not going to pout anymore and treat you like there's something wrong with you. I should never do that in the first place. But it means it's put away. Now go and live life and live it more abundantly. And then what he did in John chapter 8 with the woman caught in adultery, they brought her and said he should, she'd be stoned to death, and Jesus challenged them. And he looked at her and he says, who condemns you? And he said, I don't either. Go and sin no more. Go live life. No, he didn't say go through the 10-step spiritual program. He said, go. There's no condemnation. There's not go and live life. You've been transformed. Go experience it. That's just stunning to me. And so I'm grateful for forgiveness. Because it doesn't just mean something simple and shallow like we think it does. It's a powerful word. It means that is no longer exists. It's been put away. Don't look for it. Now go live life. Don't look back. Go live life in me. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together.